You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Maynard-Robbins. Our current serial is The Bromances. This is episode 9, and as promised, it's a Juniper chapter. So, The Bromances, episode 9, The Secret Diary of Miss Juniper Creswell, currently under new management. Dear Diary, this isn't the first time that I have had my body stolen, or possessed, or enchanted to obey a will other than my own. This isn't even the third time. My family's affinity with music has led to some rather strange incidents over the years. My elder sister is a banshee, my younger sister a siren. Before the decade of vocal training it took them both to control their powers, I was stuck in the middle. Magical guinea pig. Carmen stole my voice once. For a whole year. She meant to do it, but she didn't realise how hard it would be to give it back once she was caught. Calypso used to hum at me if she couldn't be bothered to get out of bed for breakfast. I would stand against my own volition, march into the kitchen, make cereal and apple slices, and return to the bedroom with a tray. I fought it at first, deliberately jolting or tipping the tray, so that her bed ended up a mess and she got the blame. But that only encouraged her to increase her control. She also learned how to make me get out of bed and make her breakfast without actually waking me up. Sounds horrific, but honestly, most childhoods have stories like that in them, don't they? Maybe not the misuse of magic, but some form of bullying or manipulation among the siblings. I had the reputation as the nice one, the sweet one, and I used that to my advantage. I didn't take revenge every single time that Carm or Callie did something wicked to me, but I saved it up. When I did enact my vengeance, I timed it well, so no one could accuse me without looking like they were making it up. Both my sisters are perfectly lovely now. Carmen is second clarinet of the Floating Orchestra, and Carmen is in grade 12 at the Willows Academy, applying to come to Belladonna U next year. We almost never torment each other anymore, magically or otherwise. I should thank them, really. Because when the cute little fangirl in the Cinevate t-shirt and the knitted beanie stole my body, my first thought was resigned familiarity. Oh, this again. It wasn't a traditional body swap. I'd been through one of those too, the summer that Carmen was so angry at being sent to woodwind camp that she harnessed some seriously dark magic. It lasted a week, and because I was loyal, I covered for her until she got sprung trying to take my 14-year-old body to a 16-plus concert with her then-boyfriend. Is it any wonder I spent most of my teens preferring to hang out with Jane Austen? Anyway, I knew that feeling of waking up in someone else's limbs, and this wasn't that. I was still resident in my body. I was just removed from the action, observing as the fangirl took over the driving seat. Her own body fell limply to the path when she took me. She used my voice to summon her friend, Ellie L. My thief was, it turned out, called Ellie K. And between them they carried original Ellie K to their campsite, as if she were merely drunk and not unconscious. No, unconscious isn't the word. Empty is the word. They were fans. That much was obvious. This was a joyride. And all I had to do was hang on tight and hope they got bored before they crashed the vehicle. The Ellies got drunk and giggly, watched a bunch of concerts together, and finally got up the nerve to hang out with my bandmates at the camp on Saturday evening. No one noticed that I wasn't myself. To be fair, Ellie Kay had clearly done her homework. On the rare occasions that the conversation opened in my direction, Ellie said something random about Jane Austen or cello music, or just smiled and gave off some pleasantry. It was a wake-up call. Apparently with the right 6 sound bites, I could be replaced entirely. I had high hopes for Hebe, who was the one usually most likely to notice issues, but she was clearly rattled by the presence of the Basilisk boyfriend crew, and so busy pretending she didn't mind that she couldn't see anything else. Ellie L., not restricted by having to pretend to be me, stared openly at everyone with fannish glee. She kept up a whispered commentary into my ear and genuinely squealed when Sage and Holly started noodling around with some new song he was breaking in, even though they blew up into an argument halfway through because something about lyric scansion. "Fine, I'll play it with Juniper," Holly huffed. She gave me a look then, a searching, challenging look. She'd been giving me a lot of those looks all day, like she was unhappy with me. Like she didn't trust me. Made me feel sick and stressed, more so even than the unwanted passenger in my body. But then Holly marched over to our tent, manhandled Irene towards me, and held her towards the wrong side of my body. She knew I hated anyone to touch her. She knew that wasn't how. Oh. Holly knew. This was a test. All those glances of suspicion and dislike, they were for the passenger, not me. To her credit, Ellie Kay rallied hard. "I could have done that," she protested quietly, eyes on the ground like she was embarrassed to challenge Holly's poor manners. Yeah, that was a little too accurate for my liking. "Give us that beat you've been torturing us all with, Sage," Holly called out. He tapped the beat and started to sing his rough lyrics, not quite there. Holly joined in, singing along. I played. Ellie Kay played me, like I was Irene. She was an actual cellist, it turned out. No wonder she'd picked me as the fake geek girl band member to hijack. I realized then how much I'd been hoping that Ellie Kay would show herself up in rehearsal, or during our set tomorrow, that the band would finally be certain something was wrong, because she played wrong. But she didn't. Instead, I saw Holly's eyes soften as Ellie Kay played, like she wasn't sure whether to trust her own suspicious thoughts after all, like maybe she'd been mistaken. I wanted to howl. "You see me! Don't give up now!" But Holly was smiling with what looked like relief. And Ellie Kay was so proud of herself, her entire identity swamped mine with confidence. I drifted deeper, losing my senses, drowning in my own body. It went foggy. I think I slept. When I awoke, I was in the tent, with Holly asleep in the sleeping bag beside me, and I knew I'd lost her. She wouldn't be asleep if she didn't trust that this was me and not some intruder. I suppose I should be grateful she wasn't out banging my professor. Next time I struggled up out of the fog, Fake Geek Girl were practicing, and Ellie Kay was managing to keep up fine with what was expected of Juniper. She played our songs like she'd been practicing them for years, which wasn't overly surprising now, I suppose. Her friend, Ellie L., sat nearby, legs swinging as she watched us. Her eyes were on Holly, and she didn't look as aggressive as she had before. She looked contemplative, like she was measuring Holly for a new outfit. Oh, no! It wasn't only me I had to worry about. Ellie L. was planning to hijack a Fake Geek Girl band member, too. Did they have another friend who had aspirations to be a drummer? They were stealing the whole band! And from here, with Ellie Kay at the wheel, there was nothing I could do to stop them. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter @TansyRR or @SheepMightFly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Later this month, the Fake Geek Girl prequel story will be one of those Patreon exclusive rewards for those supporting me at $2 a month or more. So if that's something that interests you, go check out the Patreon page. All right, I will see you next week for a check-in on how Sage is doing.